Can anybody out there hear me? Hear me?
On this team, we fight that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch.
Coming in at 320 kilobytes per second, it's time for Maddie C's Sports. Voice.
What the fuck is up? They ain't touching me for nothing. Gang shit is not my business. I ain't not the one to fuck with.
Alrighty, buddy. Maddie C Sports, the music segment of my show. I'd like to welcome Shingo O2. And man, how you doing today, man?
Good. I'm doing good.
I know it's 6 p.m. over there, but we have to have the late edition. We're like Jimmy Kimmel over here.
Yeah, it's all good. Thank you for having me and thank you for staying up.
Absolutely, man. So what I want to know, man, like, what got you into the game of hip-hop?
Well, I got to say, what's kind of funny, just a few days ago, I actually did a drawing for the Living Legends single featuring Dale the Funky Homo Sapien. And I just did a little quick drawing and rendering for Grouch, and he uploaded it, so I got to upload it too. And that was really my start, you know, because in 1993, I was a freshman in college, just fresh out of high school, really didn't know much about, you know, the actual scene other than just listening to music in high school. So I was just like completely just bombarded with hip hop as a freshman in college. You know what I mean? Like I was just so excited and mesmerized and overwhelmed, you know, to be honest, just walking up and down Telegraph, just seeing all these artists. And I was just a fan, you know, of the culture and not even that deep into the culture at that point, you know? So whether it was graffiti, DJing, MCing, beat making, you know, it just, I was just fascinated by every facet of the culture. So to answer your story, your question, you know what I'm saying? Like just going to Berkeley at 18 just changed my whole life.
And that's awesome. And that's a very tough school to get into. So what kind of stuff did you learn at Cal?
Well, out of high school, I wasn't really thinking that much what I was going to do or what I was going to be. So I just applied for engineering. So the degree was called EECS, Electrical Engineering and Computer Science. And there are like five options of within that degree. So I just picked a random one and I somehow got in. So yeah, it was just stroke of luck, honestly. I could have gone to other schools in the state, but my parents just kind of wanted me to stay in the Bay for that year before they left back to Japan. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
So with your style, man, I mean, I'm going to say myself, the Lovesick series that you had with Nujabes is like top for me. Like it can be like when you're down, when you're up, like I could put that whole album on repeat and just keep going. Like for you, like how did it feel to work with him and also like better yourself as an artist?
I mean, that's a pretty nuanced question, you know, because that first collab happened in the year, like, 2000, maybe. So, I mean, for me, you know, as an MC, I liked all sorts of music, you know, and I always looked up to people who are in the independent scene, underground scene. So I always liked really hard stuff, experimental stuff. So for me at that point, like working with someone like Nujabes was like almost like taking a break from doing a lot of experimental stuff. You know, me, myself, not just being an MC, but also being a beat maker and whatnot. I was like, okay, let me just hop on this track real quick kind of thing, you know? So, yeah, like I said, it was almost just me as a featured rapper, just kind of, you know, working with this other dude in Japan that we had just met. So I didn't really put that much thought into it at the time, you know. But of course, like when I recorded it at home and, you know, put the concept together and then send the vocals in and then got the 12-inch back, I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. You know, it's very kind of softer side of, you know, more poetic side of me. And, you know, it was really done without much effort in a good way. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really try to stretch. It wasn't a stretch for me to talk about the things that I was talking about because I was actually projecting kind of my thoughts towards music.
Just that melodic sound to me was just like, I started to get into, like, they call it lo-fi now, but was I feel like you guys and yourself were like the creators of this sort of genre of music. And, you know, do you feel that you kind of started a new style of music?
No, I wouldn't think that at all, quite, to be quite honest with you, because like me as a rapper, you know what I mean, like, or MC, like I said, I've always had my role models, you know, just within the Bay Area, you know, just hundreds of just amazing, insane rappers, and I was just really trying to find my style, my voice, you know. And as far as Nujabes, he was pretty much the same thing, you know. We all idolize the same 90s producers, you know what I mean?
Like, oh, I miss DJ, that era,
DJ Premier, Pete Rock, you know. And I think it's just in retrospect that people kind of put the puzzle together, you know, because we had contributed to Samurai Champloo, and then somehow people kind of combined the aesthetics of anime and also old school hip hop. And, you know, it's just a product of a retrospective kind of like piecing the puzzle pieces together, you know? So yeah, so I really would not take credit for anything other than the fact that we're just trying to do something, you know?
Yeah. And what I love about you too is the great thing is you don't have to swear in your songs to make great music. And it's kind of like how you articulate your words are kind of like, I compare to like J5, Jurassic 5, like they don't have to really swear in their songs. So like, you know, do you feel the need that, like, I don't know, your opinion, as do you think that artists need to like cut down on it a little? Or is it like, you know, in the modern day, back when I was listening to Wu-Tang and stuff, like they were doing that, but it wasn't like it is now where it's just every other verse is just like a swear, you know what I mean? Like, that's why I miss 90s hip hop. I miss miss like Grandmaster Flash, like all that type of stuff. Like, they didn't have to swear to get their point across.
Mm-hmm. I mean, me personally, I don't think it, you know, I'm not going to comment on what the next MC is doing, you know, because obviously hip hop has this, you know, street element to it. If that's how people are talking now, that's just what's going to come out in the music, you know. But creativity wise, though, of course, like, if you got to use your syllables to actually say something, you know, then you got to think about it a little bit more. You know, like, even if you're freestyling, whatever, if you say motherfucking, that's like four syllables that you don't have to write. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. So, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. So that's what I feel, you know, like, those are fillers, and there's nothing wrong with fillers, but you can't use the same filler like 10 times in a song. You know, I almost have a pet peeve. I don't want to say the same word twice in the same song, you know? So, yeah, I think it really, to each their own, honestly, whether it's a curse word, a swear word, you know, it really means different things to different people. So,
well, I like how in one of your songs you say November a lot. So, because that's my birthday month. So, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it's a hook, it's different. Of course, you can repeat it, but, you know,
I love it, man, because that was a good hook, man. And for you, like, do you yourself, like, what's songs that, you know, other people would listen, like, on your playlist yourself, like your actual playlist, like, what's something you think people would be surprised that you listen to?
That I listen to? Boy, do you mean nowadays or just growing
anytime,
up?
Anytime.
Oh, man. I mean, I gotta say, like, once I really got into making music and recording with live musicians, of course, my palette expanded, you know? And of course, like, if you sample, then you gotta go through, you know, studying jazz and understanding it. And then when I started composing and, you know, performing a lot with live musicians, I needed to understand the keys and scale and whatnot, you know, so I studied all of that and I started tinkering with the instruments and all that, you know. So naturally, I got into a lot of jazz, a lot of free jazz, and of course, lots of roots reggae, you know, and I got into dub music quite a bit, you know. I was doing a lot of dub mixing myself. So yeah, there's really no limit to the kind of music that you should be listening to if you're a DJ or a producer, you know. And circling back to Nujabes, you know, I think one positive thing about him was that he was a record collector, you know, not just a record store owner. So he had vast amounts of vinyl that he was always listening to, whether it was old school Japanese jazz or Brazilian music. And I think that's just how he came across these samples, you know. You know what I mean? At one point or another, at one point it was just a record on a shelf. Then all DJs and producers just happen to listen through them and something catches their attention, you know, and that's how it goes.
I saw you with the needle and the vinyl today. That I love seeing the record spin like that, man. And for you, is that more like, does it sound more like quality, like old school? Like, do you like the old school type of stuff, like a record, or, you know, everybody just downloads something, but to have the actual album with you, like, is that more a genuine feeling? Like, I feel like that's lost in the in music now, is everything Spotify, Apple, like things like that. I mean, I feel like records should come back, you know, CDs. Yeah. I mean, people had CDs, like packets full of them, and now it's like, where are they now?
Yeah, I think, that's a very good question. And I think CDs, it's just lacking the CD player market. You know, if that makes a comeback, of course, CD as a medium is going to. I think it would have to, you know. But as far as like consuming music on the daily, I'm just guilty as the next person. You know, I have a phone, laptop, you know, that's where I mostly listen and even write music, compose music, record music. So a lot of times, you know, handling vinyl or even making vinyl is like in the back burners, you know what I mean? Like, I gotta really kind of make an effort to make sure my turntable's in good condition, my mixer's wired right, you know, my speakers are good. So I mean, the last year, you know, I've been a little bit better about it. You know, I ended up producing like a vinyl mix and I put it out through Weenod, and I enjoy stuff like that, you know, but it is definitely a concerted effort on my part to just sit down in front of a turntable, you know. I'm sure it's the same with everyone else, but you know what I mean?
From my perspective, it's like it's different, but it's not in the same way. It's like, for me, it's a microphone and making sure the sound's okay, or, you know, my computer's running. It had like, even to the point where you need batteries for your microphone. Like, it's right. Like, I got to go a week before and buy like $20 worth of batteries. So like, if I'm in an interview, like live in action, then, you know, what do I do if I don't have them? I always want to be prepared. And I'm sure that's your way as well.
Man, I mean, I try, you know, but we're all busy doing like 20 other things, you know, during the course of the day. Just trying to stay on top of things is just an art in and of itself, you know, and half the time I'm failing at that, you know. You know what I mean?
It's only half. It's only half, though.
Maintaining a computer, your gear, maintaining your car, you know, it's just a part of life, you know, just organizing your files and maintaining your playlist and what you need to work on next, you know, it takes a lot of focus. And I'm pretty distracted, you know.
I think
anyone else can be, you know, like I might be writing a song and all of a sudden I'm just checking sports scores and highlights and, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love
it,
man.
We're all prone to that, you know? So I think that said, it's kind of important to have your creative metabolism just in check and kind of know, okay, this is what I ought to be working on, you know? It's hard. It's a challenge.
And going with things like that, I mean, like, you know, when you were in the battle cry days, like, you know, how did it feel like getting into that? And then you were just talking about like the anime scene and stuff like that and your music being appearing in that. And then I'm sure you've seen the shows, like, was it something that was kind of cool? 'Cause like you had a visual of your music right in front of you.
You mean when it came out or when we were making that song?
Both.
Like when it was all said and done?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And I didn't expect that to happen at all. You know, like me and June were working on something else and all of a sudden he was like, hey, by the way, like, would you like to rap on this thing? I was like, all right, then why not? You know?
Yeah.
And then I never spoke to the director till many, many years later, you know, and then he told me that he was just a record fan, you know, he would go to the vinyl stores in his heyday and he used to have my record, Nujabes record. So it just kind of he put two and two together and said, OK, why don't I offer them to do an opening theme song? Yeah,
that is so cool, man.
Yeah. So it was a great honor for me. And because also Dell, you know, he used to tell me all the time, yo, Cowboy Bebop is dope, you know? So I kind of got to tell him like, hey, by the way, you know, your favorite director is making anime and I'm doing the song for it. So he was really happy for me back then. So that was a full circle moment for me just to be able to tell him.
And it's cool because like, I just got into like anime with this boxing show in Japan called Hajime no Ippo, which is about a boxer.
Yeah, that's and a classic one. Yeah,
I love it, man. I just got into it now and it's like amazing, like how you see the song from the intro to the end, and it's like, you like, I don't expect that, and it's like, wow, it really sounds like a beautiful like type of song, and it fits the show once you keep watching it. And that's what I love about music is people usually have a good judgment of where a song should go in a different situation. So I'm glad you got your song into that, and that's pretty awesome. And speaking of songs, are you getting into anything now? You're working on any projects as of now?
Yeah, as of now, I'm perpetually behind on collaboration, so I'm working on just several projects. I was just recording a song I was supposed to do with this guy named Bajun Tobita. So I've already done a song with him before, but now I'm working on a three-part project with him. I'm supposed to record this album that I have with Jack the Rip that we recorded a couple of years ago. So I got to do that. And yeah, just so many things with my DJ Spinmaster A1. Yeah, I'm behind.
And you have a new single out too.
Which one?
The one with the basketball is
Signify. Yeah, that's something that the NBA actually commissioned us to do last year. We kind of negotiated so that we could also put it out as a single. You know, it was just a little like web promotion to kind of promote, because in Japan to watch the NBA you actually had to subscribe for it, so it was kind of like, you know, a feature video for that, and then we got to do the music for it, you know what I mean? But yeah, but I'm glad how it turned out. Sure.
That is so cool, man. I love it. Who is your favorite basketball team?
I mean, I always like an underdog story, to be honest with you, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I'm a sports fan and I'm a basketball fan, so I don't have like one diehard team. But of course, like I was really, supporting the Warriors when they're starting their dynasty, and just off of living in LA and just having a lot of friends in LA, I'm kind of a default Lakers fan, just from being a Kobe fan and stuff.
So you're away from the Celtics.
I don't have an emotional connection to most East Coast teams, like even though I love watching, watching just high level basketball period, like my tour manager, Peter Agassson, he's a diehard Knicks fan. So sometimes I just send him stuff, anything pertaining to the Knicks.
And for you, there was another topic with helping the Asian community, and making a name for it, like, standing up for certain rights and stuff and different activism, because there was some really bad hate within the Asian community that some people, selfish people, decided to, ensue violence on people. So, is that a big thing for you? Are you an advocate for the community, like reaching out and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely try to do my part. Like I did that song when Lyrics Born. Another one of my idols slash mentors reached out to me. It was a song that he had already done about anti-violence, towards Asian Americans. So that was cool that I got to do that. But looking back on that period, you know what I mean? Like when those string of incidents happened, of course, I don't condone violence on any level, you know what I mean? Like, especially towards strangers, but I would personally just blame the media for kind of stoking that fire, Like, maybe it was inevitable, honestly, but just the degree to which COVID got out of hand, in the media too, So I think whenever people get really, really desperate, whether it's mentally, psychologically, or like financially, people are gonna do desperate things, dude, So yeah,
Absolutely.
I don't think it was just like a racially motivated thing, I think people are just out of their minds.
Oh yeah. And it just, unfortunately, it happened that way. So for you now, is there anything else that you would like to do besides being an artist, or is this like, this is the go-to, like, this is what I want to do the rest of my life?
Well, I mean, I'm 40. I just turned 48, but I've never really thought about anything else, other than the projects that come my way and just relationship that I form along the way, So on that note, I've been doing my brand, and just have a backlog of music that I need to put out as an artist, and just helping everyone around me, and that just fills up my day. So there's no plan B for me from the very beginning, Like from the moment I finished college, like there was no looking back. I wasn't gonna get a 9 to 5, and my plan was no plan. There's no plan. Just got to do it, and that has never changed.
I love it, man. And I don't want you to stop making music, man. I love your music, man. And a lot of people here, and some people in the mental health community have told me how, like I said, oh, listen to this, or listen to you. And it's like people are really inspired by your music. And it's not just friends. I hear people talking about it around here. I said, knowing that for a while, Shingo's been a really good musician and artist, and every single aspect of life. He's a producer, a musician, an artist. Like, you have so many occupations, man. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. But we all do. We all try to, have a hand at what we love to do, And that's really it.
And so, Shingo, my final question to you, man, is, are you yourself gonna currently tour? Or are you gonna hold off on that because of the projects you have?
So, man, what happened during COVID? You know, it was all a blur. We were on tour in 2020, and then we had to turn back. And we canceled a lot of shows, man, you know, on the West Coast especially. So, you know, like eventually I would like to, you know, but life happens and we got to move forward. And even within my touring band, the Chihus, you know, like excluding myself, there's, I forget, like 5 or 6 babies that happened since then. So we're not that mobile right now, you know, but I've been, you know, doing a lot of shows with my DJ in Japan, Spin Master A1. He's been producing a lot of great music. We just did a show for him in Hawaii that went really well. And, you know, just a few months ago, I made a great band in London, OMA from Manchester. So we might do something in the future. Who knows? You know, I'm just keeping my mind open, to be honest with you. And, you know, traveling and performing is definitely one of the perks of being an artist. So as long as, like, you know, a promoter's there to make a show, I try to be there.
Man, and again, I'm honored to have you on this show. And, you know, I really want you to come to Boston. So you got to come to Boston, man.
That was the last show we performed too in 2020. Man, that was insane. That was the last show that happened. It was in Boston. Yeah.
Do you know where you were supposed to perform?
No, we performed.
Oh, where was it? Where'd you perform?
Shoot, I gotta look that up. Let's see. It was the second time we did it. It was, let's see. Middle East. Yeah.
I miss you at the one. That's a great venue, man, because it's small and people can hear everything. So mm-hmm.
It's a decent size for us, you know, like a few hundred person venue. And yeah, it was good. It had a good stage and everything. So, yeah. But it was mad, you know, because that was like the time COVID was about to pop off. And we're basically talking amongst ourselves every day, like, okay, you know, when should we call it kind of thing, you know? And the I think the date after Boston was actually like Vancouver, you know, and of course we were looking forward to that, but it got to a point where the promoters were like, "Do not go to Canada. You might not be able to come
back." Yeah, it was really strict there. It was really strict.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm not gonna incriminate myself, but you know, we had to stop and come home.
Well, Shingo, it's been an honor for you to be on the show. Thank you for coming on. And where can everybody find you, like on Instagram or social media?
Yeah, right now it's just on social media, mainly Instagram and Twitter. So yeah, just look me up, Shingo2. I spell Shing02. So and Gram for the Gram. But yeah, you'll find me.
Awesome, man. And please tell me when you're coming back to Boston, man.
Yeah, bro. Like I said, I would love to anytime. And like last month, I was in DC, you know, for a show at an anime con. And then we also did a small in-store in New York to promote our clothing. So yeah, whenever somebody wants to hook up a show in Boston, I'll be there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And if you want to shout out your brand and everything so everybody can know your brand and stuff.
Yeah, right now my brand is called Seven, like spelled like heaven, you know, S-E-A-V, and just kind of Japanese-inspired clothing that I designed. So, yeah, check it out.
Awesome. Well, everybody, this is Matty C Sports. This is Shingo02, and check him out. He is the dopest lo-fi guy right now. Well, always. Big fan, so I'm biased. So
thank you. Much honored.
All right, everybody, thank you so much, and we'll see you later.
Thanks for watching Matty C's Sports. Make sure to follow Matty C on MattCameron23 on Twitter, MattyC23 on Instagram, and subscribe to Matty C's Sports on YouTube.
They ain't touching me for nothing. Gang shit is not my business. I ain't not the one to fuck with. I bring the flow with lyrical stamina, rapping a million miles. One point I'm an animal, then I'm a cannibal. Taking my pick and I pounce.